This is the son of PCJ.
Take me in your arms and hold me tight. Tell me that your love is mine tonight. Say that everything will turn out right. It hurts to say goodbye. Let me know the thrill of your embrace. Memories that time cannot erase. While I kiss the teardrops from your face, it hurts to say goodbye. Back with you, my love, till then, it hurts to say goodbye. To say goodbye, till I'm back with you, my love. It hurts to say goodbye.
It hurts to say goodbye, Vera Lynn. Beginning this edition of Happy Station, I'm Keith Powell. It's very nice to have you with me. Today's program is very special because on Friday, Taiwan time, Happy Station did a special three-hour program targeted towards the Pacific and Southeast Asia. This kind of coincided with the Farewell Dutch program at Radio Netherlands. Now, during this version of the program, we're going to be bringing you excerpts of that entire 3 hours as well as over the next few weeks. The full three-hour program will be made available at our website, www.pcjmedia.com. But of course, we can't bring you the full 3 hours for stations that relay this program because they only get 55 minutes. Today's show is very special indeed, because after more than 60 years on the air, Radio Netherlands Dutch service signed off for good in a 24-hour marathon, highlighting some of the best moments of those years. In a few seconds, we're going to be cutting to Radio Netherlands in Holland with my special guest that we have standing by. Well, actually, two special guests. First, Jonathan Gruberre, who hosted this program for 1 year and put the show to rest on Radio Netherlands. And also, Jan Olsterveen. And then later on, a very, very special guest, and I'm not going to tell you who that is. But first, let's take a little listen to, well, a few moments of the final Dutch program from Radio Netherlands.
En hier en straks in Korea waardige vertegenwoordigers zijn van hun land.
Korea was dat 1952. Het duurt vervolgens bijna 30 jaar voordat Nederland weer meedoet aan een militaire missie. Waarom hebben we eigenlijk in de jaren 60, 70 niks gedaan?
Nou, we hebben niet helemaal niet niks gedaan. We hebben een paar kleine waarnemingsmissies gedaan, onder andere in Jemen. Het waren vooral de mariniers die vonden dat leuk om te doen. Die hebben een lijstbreuk qua Pater Torbis, zo wijd de wereld strekt.
You're listening to a special edition of Happy Station Show this week, and there is a reason behind this special edition. For those who have been paying attention, over the last few weeks, it's been announced time and time again that Radio Netherlands Worldwide will cease all Dutch transmissions on radio. Actually, the Dutch service will discontinue completely. But before they do, they're going to leave in a bang, like a real kaboom kind of bang, an open house, inviting people to this radio station to take part in this 24-hour marathon with, actually, by the way, some added frequencies. Yes, some added frequencies. It's kind of funny, you know, they're leaving shortwave, and they're leaving, but they're going to add more frequencies for this, which is kind of ironic. But anyway, to talk actually a little bit about what's going on in Hilversum at the moment, I'm actually joined by, well, two people. The first one you know already because he's been on this show before. He's also the host of The State We're In on Radio Netherlands, and that's Jonathan Gruber. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Keith.
And our next guest is Jan Osterveen. And hello to you, Jan.
Hi, Keith.
Before, Jan, we get to something amazing that you actually brought to Radio Netherlands. It's like you were like hunting around for junk or something and found this item and have brought it in. We'll get to that in a moment. Jonathan, of course, we know about the drastic cut that took place at Radio Netherlands, going from 46 million euros to 14 million euros. And of course, cuts had to be made. A lot of staff is going to be leaving. Some staff is going to be taking early retirement and things like that. Were people surprised in the organization that Dutch would be the first language to go?
I don't think that people were entirely surprised. Well, first of all, just to be 100% careful about things, I think it really depended upon who you asked. I think that if those people had been observing what was happening in international broadcasting, those people who were familiar with what had been going on for quite some time, those people were, of course, not surprised because large international broadcasters have been signing off one by one over the last decade. And so those people, including myself, were not at all taken by surprise when the cuts came. In fact, just speaking on behalf of myself, I was surprised that they hadn't happened earlier. I was expecting them actually in 2005, or at some point each year. I sort of was waiting for it to happen, and it just sort of never seemed to happen. So I think, having said that, I do think that a lot of people were in fact taken by surprise, and I base that upon not just how people in the building reacted, but also in Dutch media. The Dutch media was rather shocked by not just the fact that cuts were made, but by the fact that the cuts were so deep.
Mm-hmm. You know, the odd thing, though, that is kind of odd about this, I don't know if you're aware of this, but China Radio International is starting a Dutch service.
Really?
They're starting. They actually have an online site right now, which is for online content. Later this year, they're going to be producing a one-hour daily program in Dutch.
That is very interesting.
You know, and I wonder, like, you know, if people, the people in The Hague, actually where the funding for Radio Netherlands come from, if they knew this, what they would be thinking.
They probably will know at some point, especially because Radio Netherlands is being shifted from the Ministry of Culture to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And I can only guess that ministry is more clued into what is happening that has anything to do with the Dutch culture or Dutch language that is created by other foreign ministries. So, you know, I'm sure that at some point they'll be aware of it and they'll probably listen and assess.
Now, Radio Netherlands is doing this marathon broadcast. The last time that this was done was in the 1970s for the 50th anniversary of Happy Station. What is the mood like? Because it's been going on now for a few hours anyway.
You know, I mean, if you just walked in here and you didn't know what this was all about, you'd think that it was some kind of mega party going on because there's a big old tent. There's things floating around in this nice sort of like pool that we have a big pool out there. I'm actually, even as we speak, I'm watching through the window. I'm seeing giant stacks of speakers floating around on the pool, and I'm hoping they don't fall in because that would really be an expensive mistake. But there's live music and there's lots of drinks going around and there's hordes of people walking through the buildings and there's lots of smiles on people's faces. But then when I start speaking with people, like I have somebody who works on my show is Dutch, and she just worked on one of the she was directing one of the hours of the broadcast, and she came back and she just looked really, really sad. And, you know, we all asked her what's up, and she said, Oh, the mood down there is really melancholy. So, yeah, I think there is a tremendous sense of loss.
It sounds, the way you're describing it to me, like an Irish funeral. If you've got to go, this is the way to go. Just one big bang.
I suppose so. I mean, it is really big. I mean, a lot of other international broadcasters have closed down and just quietly went. And, to quote Eliot's The Hollow Men, this one is definitely – to misquote Eliot's The Hollow Men – this is going not with a whimper, but with a bang. Mm-hmm. So, I wholeheartedly approve, because something is being lost here. A lot of history. I mean, Radio Netherlands is considerably older and has a much more venerable history that can be traced all the way back to 1927, in a way that most other international broadcasters cannot do. So those of us who know the whole history of the organization do have a tremendous sense of something important passing.
I'm just curious because the Dutch language service is going to be signing off for good in a few hours from now. What about the other languages like Spanish or Indonesian or even English?
Well, here's what I can tell you and what I can't tell you. what I can tell you is that in the course of this year, at some point, it is almost certain that those languages will sign off on shortwave. English, Spanish, Indonesian, etc. What I cannot tell you is when. And that's probably because they just simply haven't decided exactly what the cutoff date is at that point. But it is almost certain that it's over. Now, there is some discussion, and I will not be held to this because it is nothing but discussion, about maybe continuing on in Spanish in certain parts of the world where future target areas, free speech target areas that cannot be reached in other ways. That is only discussion at this point. Nothing is certain.
You know, I know that Radio Netherlands has changed their focus to provide information to parts of the world where free speech is limited or non-existent. But then in my head, I think, well, wait a second. If you're going to do that, in many of these places, people don't have access to the internet, or the internet is blocked. So how does that work?
Well, you know, that is the discussion that's taking place internally right now, which is in those countries, in those parts of the world that are going to be target areas, how do you reach those people? Which is exactly the reason why you're having a discussion right now about extending shortwave to certain parts of the world on a limited basis. But again, that is only just discussion right now. No decisions have been made.
So as for the, if I can put it this way, the state we're in, we won't know until much later.
Well, as for the state we're in, you know, earlier in this conversation, I stated that I was not surprised when the cuts came for Radio Netherlands. And the state we're in owes its existence to that kind of thinking that myself and another colleague, Michelle Ernsting, had back in 2005. We saw the writing on the wall, and we decided that if we were going to stay relevant and on the air, we had to develop a program that would not need shortwave. And as a result of that, helped to consolidate the efforts of the people in the English department, what was called the English department then, ended a lot of programs, moved all that money over towards the state we're in, and moved a lot of those producers towards the state we're in so that we could create a program that would be competitive in the American market, which is at that point in time what it was directed towards. We just needed our shows to get a whole hell of a lot better so that they would be able to compete domestically in the market and that we wouldn't need shortwave as a medium to reach people listening. In other words, we would get partner stations and they would just add it to their schedules and broadcast the show. And in that sense, the state we're in has been wildly successful beyond our dreams at this particular point in time. And we're in discussions with an American distributor at this point also to sort of take the program on and take over the distribution part, because Radio Netherlands simply won't be able to afford that.
And, you know, something that you just mentioned a moment ago that actually that's quite interesting. Like with PCJ, we actually have a number of partner stations as well. And I've noticed that when you have a show that airs, let's say, through a partner station on a medium wave or FM relay, it doesn't matter in what country, you get a very different audience than what you would, let's say, on shortwave to certain areas.
Well, if you're talking about the United States or Canada, we're also go out on the CBC nationally, then you just basically get their audience. You get the American Public Radio audience if you're out in the U.S., and you get the audience for the CBC. And, you know, you don't get international listeners. I mean, you might get them, because they'll be listening to their local domestic broadcaster, but you just get whoever they appeal to, mm-hmm. whoever that demographic appeals to.
Here's something I think this might you'll get a kick out of this. In early March, I was in the United States attending a radio conference in a place called Plymouth Meeting in the USA, and they had a silent auction, and there was one guy auctioning off. Guess this, you're gonna love this, tapes. Tapes of a show that you did, EuroQuest.
Really?
He had a batch of 20 of them.
Wow. What'd he get for
them? Well,
him?
Actually, I was just curious, so I put a bid for like $1. And the final...
Oh, Keith.
The final bid for them, right, was $35. The money, of course, went to charity. So there's this one guy now, somewhere in the U.S., I don't even know who he is, but he now has this collection of 20 tapes from the Radio Netherlands, the old Radio Netherlands transcription service of EuroQuest.
That's crazy. I can't think of anybody wanting those.
Oh, you want to hear...
I mean, they're so long, they're irrelevant.
You want to hear something better? In Shanghai, I've come across in some CD shops copies of EuroQuest on CD.
That's insane.
And they're selling them.
Why would anybody... That's insane. I could understand it if they were made of tape and you could just copy over them. But they were on CD.
Yeah, and you could find them in China in some like CD shops, which is, again, I don't understand it because most of these shows are 10 years old or more.
Well, you know, they make it makes an excellent coaster.
Yes, exactly.
you just put your drink right on top of that. That's good.
Let's get to somebody who's actually sitting next to you, Jan Oosterveen. And Jan, before I get to the first question, I want to thank you, by the way, for some of the audio that you've sent me in the past. Now, at this farewell do for Radio Netherlands, you brought something mm-hmm. special. Now, some people would think that you're crazy. but you actually brought along a van, but it's not just a regular van, is it?
People telling me, Keith, that I'm crazy is not too far from the truth, I think.
So what about this van? What is the story behind this van?
Well, I was involved in getting the van here by a friend of mine, which I knew from the Radio Veronica offshore period. And he came across the old Radio Netherlands van, which was in the car museum in Schagen, is the place here in Holland. And he offered them to... take a whole overhaul for the equipment, and then that van could be transported here to the party tent here on the premises of Radio Netherlands. And we have used it last night, and we played, for example, a lot of old Radio Netherlands happy station tapes, etc. And we had a little exhibition here with other stuff like stickers and other gadgets like the 1988 piggy bank and that kind of things, flags and banners, all that kind of things. And from my own private collection, I brought a few technical parts from one of the transmitters in the Wuppertal transmitter site in Germany, where I have a friend, and I took a broken capacitor and a tube which was in the transmitter for a year.
Now, this is not just an ordinary van. This would be is this the same van or the same kind of van that Radio Netherlands would have used, let's say, in the 50s and 60s if they were out reporting on a story?
That's correct. From 1958, they were built by a company in Amsterdam called Werkspoor, and they did convert the upper part of the van to a complete plastic thing and built it on a chassis from Chevrolet.
So this is really just a studio on wheels, you can say.
Yes, they used it to record concerts, church services everywhere, and even there is a small film on the internet that shows that when closing one of the dikes in Zuidelijk Flevoland, which is one of our polders they reclaimed from the sea, let's say, and yes, you can see there one of the reporters, I think it's Guus Weitzel, which is one of the old presenters here, and you can see him in that film with that same van.
And by the way, you can actually take a look at some pictures at the Radio Netherlands website, rnw.nl, and there are pictures of the van as well as the tent. And Jonathan, I'm really curious about that floating thing that you were mentioning, was it just sounds very unsafe.
Yeah, I'm looking at, hold on, just hold on one second. I'm just looking up here. Yeah, it's like a big stack of speakers they've got on some kind of boat, and it's like they pushed it out into the pond, and it's just floating back and forth.
Oh boy. Okay, so you know what?
It's a PA, right? Yeah. The technician just told me that it's part of the public address system.
Oh, okay. So the final broadcast will sign off in a few hours from now. Come Monday, does that mean all those people that are there today won't be there at all?
I was asking that question, and to be honest, I don't really know the answer to that. I don't really know what's going to happen to those people come Monday. Technically, nobody's been made redundant yet. That still has to happen within the building. So what exactly these people are going to do come Monday, I am not sure. I don't really have a good answer for you.
Mm-hmm. How is the whole thing ending today?
You mean like what's actually going to happen in the final hour? I am not sure, but given the language that they are using around it, I'm expecting something explosive. Because it says going out with a bang. And why else would you say that, right? I think they're keeping it under their hats. but if there aren't fireworks, I'm going to be pissed. That's all I'm saying. There better be some fireworks.
The way you're describing it, I'm wondering if the building is going to be blown up.
Shh, don't say that. I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's going to be pretty and sparkly.
Jonathan and Jan, thank you for taking some time out today to talk about this historic broadcast at Radio Netherlands. The final Dutch program is going out at this very moment. And by the way, this segment that we're doing right now is recorded. You're hearing it right now. The current time is just after 16 hours UTC. But you can still go to the Radio Netherlands website, rnw.nl, and check out what's going on. If you can't find a frequency for Southeast and East Asia or the Pacific, don't worry, because you can listen to it streaming online. Jan and Jonathan, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
This is PCJ Radio on 88.2 FM. This is PCJ Radio on 107.5 FM in Nairobi, Kenya. And nationwide on 5. This is PCJ Radio on KBCT in Waco, Texas. This is PCJ Radio on 99.55 kilohertz to Latin America. This is PCJ Radio on 7590 kilohertz DRM. On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is PCJ Radio.
I kept mentioning to you that we are going to have a special guest on today's program. So we're just dialing in the number right now. Hopefully, they are standing by the phone. And if they're not standing by the phone, maybe we'll have to call them on their mobile phone and they'll be in the loo or something like that. But hopefully that won't be the case. So we should actually have, we have a dial tone right now. The phone is ringing.
Hello, Taiwan. This is Holland.
Hello. I wonder who that mystery voice is. Have I called the Dutch Cultural Center? Am I speaking with the minister in charge of culture?
Yes.
Of the red light district?
Pardon?
The minister of culture for the red light district of Amsterdam.
Yes, and I have bad news for you. The minister was fired only a few seconds ago.
Oh, that's too bad.
Isn't it now?
Well,
so how are things over there?
Actually, things are going quite well. I should mention, in case you don't recognize the voice, that, of course, is Tom Meyer. Actually, we've been going for 98 minutes right now, and something funny actually happened in the first hour.
Tell me.
We had an earthquake.
Oh, gosh. Keith Perron, anytime you go on the air, be it shortwave, longwave, medium wave, or television, something happens inside the earth.
It is quite frightening. It's hell freezing over, probably. It's hell freezing over.
Pardon?
I said it's hell freezing over.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't a bad one. Just about 10 minutes ago, we were talking with two people at Radio Netherlands with their big shindig that's taking place for their final Dutch broadcast, Jonathan Gruber and a guy actually that you met this week for the very first time, Jan Osterveen.
Okay, yes.
And we were talking with them. And the funny thing is, before this final broadcast, you and I had some conversations that left me laughing in hysteria.
Well, that's nothing new for me, Keith. tell me, before you go on, God forbid I say before you ramble on, are we live on the air?
We are live right now.
Okay, fine. Then I know what to say and what not to say.
Actually, before you say anything, Tom, three hours before we started the show at 9 o'clock local time here in Taiwan, or 13 hours UTC at 6 o'clock in the evening, I received an email from a listener by the name of Alan Lang. He lives Alan Lang. He lives in Singapore.
Yes.
And he read a tweet that I sent out, a tweet from the Twit, that's me, saying that, we're going to have a special guest during this live program. And he sent me an email saying, I think it's Tom Meyer. And I think I have a suspicion why he's on this special program. But he didn't get into too many details, but he did want me to relay something to you personally.
Okay, go ahead.
It is a thank you, he said. A thank you for opening up the window to the Netherlands when he first started listening to you in February 1984. It inspired him to study medicine at a college in Rotterdam. He now has his own practice in Singapore, and he wants to thank you for opening up the window to the Netherlands. He said otherwise he never would have had the opportunity or knew anything or know anything about the country before he headed over.
What can I say? It's things like this. I almost said little things, but it's big things like this that make you realize how lucky you were, in this case, how lucky I was, to be able to do that work, which I did, and to get gems and jewels like the comment you just read me after such a long time. Because let's face it, Keith, I've been gone from Radio Netherlands for almost 20 years now. But it's wonderful to hear this, and I feel honored and also quite self-conscious.
Okay, let's get on to some madness for a moment.
Yeah, but before we go on to more madness, I hope he's listening, Mr. Lang. And if not, you will definitely let him know, I hope, what my reaction was. And I would like to receive from you in the future verbatim what he wrote to you.
I will do that. And in fact, he is listening right now because he just sent me a message on Facebook saying,
okay,
I am touched. That's it.
So am I. Okay.
All right.
You promised some madness.
Yes, let's get to this madness. Now, a few weeks ago, you tried to reach me a few times, and I was occupied, but I saw your phone number, and I called you back right after. And it was just the funniest thing. Now, there's this big gathering at Radio Netherlands today. And I said, as I described it to Jonathan, I said, the way you're describing it, it sounds like an Irish wedding. sorry, an Irish funeral. Not a wedding.
Okay.
Well, maybe a wedding with a divorce. but they're saying farewell to their Dutch program. And, you know, I found out during this program that other languages will be doing a similar thing sometime, but there's no exact dates yet. There was supposed to be a Happy Station hour during that 24-hour marathon. But it sort of vanished, which is one of the reasons why we're doing this program today. And by the way, if you are listening right now on 9650 kilohertz and 12085 kilohertz, you'll probably know at this very moment, there's actually another broadcast happening in a foreign language known as Dutch. Well, actually, that's their farewell program. And hopefully people are tuning into us instead, because this is much more interesting. They're sad and crying over there and everything. But let's get back to this for a moment. There was this idea to put a Happy Station hour, and it turned from a reasonably good idea to complete madness.
What do you mean by complete madness? I mean, it turned from, as far as I know, from originally a Happy Station hour to absolutely nothing, not a minute about Happy Station. As far as I know, maybe I should rephrase that. It turned to, if there was any attention paid to Happy Station, I am not aware of it. And I was definitely not part of it. So that's a better way of putting it.
Right, but you did attend a meeting, because the odd thing about it was they were going to put it on between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, as you well know. I mean, you've been in shortwave long enough, not as long as I, of course, but to know that the time that you're working, the time that you spend in the studio or wherever you are, is governed by the time of the broadcast in the target area.
Right, but the thing is, this was a case, by the way, of broadcasting to an audience that was fast asleep.
Well, that's what I said when I heard. My first question was, when they said it's going to be 3 to 4 a.m., live. Well, I don't get excited of an hour in the middle of the night, and I definitely don't get hysterical to work live. I worked live my entire career. But my first question as a real shortwave idiot was, okay, fine, What is the target area and what are the frequencies? Let's face it, Radio Netherlands has been known for 65 years as a shortwave station. And I was convinced, or I assumed maybe I should say, that they would go off the air as a shortwave station broadcasting on shortwave. So my question was, okay, fine, 3 to 4. What is the target area? What are the frequencies? Well, the target area turned out to be Europe. And the frequency turned out to be a medium wave frequency from England. So then I said, look, folks, 3 to 4 a.m., most of Europe is asleep. And a medium wave frequency from England won't even reach the most eastern border of our country. So I don't think there's any point in then sitting in a studio live talking to people who are snoring away. That's where the whole thing ended for me, and apparently also for the powers that be who were organizing it, because I did get two very friendly letters from the general manager of Radio Netherlands, but I never heard from the organizing committee again. So I can't tell you really whether or not there has been or will be or is any time devoted to Happy Station at all. I will be going there later on because the general manager made it very clear that he would enjoy shaking my hand during the last 2 hours. And of course, I mean, if I'm so nicely invited to the dying breath of a station I worked for almost 30 years, then I will definitely go there. So I'll be there tonight, Dutch time, between 8 and 10. But I don't know what's happening otherwise.
You know, it is kind of... You were there for so long, and you even though you weren't there, you still kind of had an idea of the cuts and everything that's been going on there. What must be going through your mind? I think I asked you before. I mean, and I did ask you before. You said it was the right time to get out.
Oh, for me, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You mean? Yeah. Oh, yes. It was definitely for me the right time to get out, because let's face it, otherwise I wouldn't have gotten out. I always explained it like this. If you discover your house is on fire, you get out as soon as possible and take with you the things that you value most. You don't stay inside to wait and get burned with the rest of the house. Well, that's the feeling I had. In my humble opinion, the station was going in a direction which I didn't agree with. And so I said, well, folks, that's it. It happens in the best of marriages where people get divorces, so I simply divorced them. And soon people would say, especially colleagues, God, you were lucky. And then I said, no, folks, I wasn't lucky. I thought. And after thinking, I made a decision. And key to this day, I haven't been sorry.
There's actually...
You
know, Tom, before we continue, just as you were saying that, we got a couple of emails of people that want to wish hello to you.
Okay.
The first one is from a name that you know, Rosemary Kolsar. In Washington, D.C.
Hi, Rosemary.
Bruce Jensen in the United States.
Yes.
And he's written me before, and he loves the way I pronounce his name. Sami Niemelani blah, 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 in Finland.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to pretend I remember all these names, but, of course, Rosemary's the one that I've known for I don't know how long. And once again, the only thing I can say is, isn't it wonderful that after so many years, people still remember you?
Rosemary told me a funny story when I met up with her in Washington in March. She said, because there's a group, excuse me, there's a group on Yahoo called the Happy Station Group, and she's on that group. And she said to me, for a long time, people were thinking that she was the Rosemary.
Oh, God.
And she said she kept having to write people back saying, no, I am not Tom's Rosemary from Happy Station. My name is Rosemary Kulsar. I'm in the United States, and I never worked at Radio Netherlands. And she says that even today that happens.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, well, I was talking to my Rosemary not too long ago, because when I still thought I would be taking part in the marathon today, I wanted to check a couple of things which had sort of disappeared in the midst of my memory. And so I called her, and we had a nice long chat. And she's doing well, by the way.
When did she leave Radio Netherlands?
Oh, I wouldn't know, because she continued working for them for quite some time. And, of course, at the time, she did let me know. But I couldn't know. I have no idea whether it's so many years or more or less years, so I'm not going to make a fool of myself and give you a wrong answer.
There's a letter, actually, that I have in my hands that I'm opening up as we speak that came in March from a listener in Dallas, Texas, by the name of Mike McKinney. He works as, now he's a high school math teacher. And he wrote this very nice long letter about when he went to the Netherlands in 1973.
Yes.
And you spent a lot of time with him at Radio Netherlands. He sat in during a broadcast of Happy Station. And then at the end of it, he says, Tom was so nice, he even drove me back to my hotel in Amsterdam. Now, that's something that you don't hear radio people doing these days.
No, you know, if I had only been a radio man, then I don't think my relatives and friends would have liked me anymore. I always said that the most important thing to me in life was the contact with other human beings. And that is also how I tried to put together the shows that I did. The interhuman contact was what was very important for me. And I think that's why they tolerated me for such a long time.
And also, you know, there's something that we should mention, but Happy Station was its own section. It was not, it was its own section within Radio Netherlands, and you were the head of that station, because a lot of people think that Happy Station was a show in the English service, but it was a section.
Yes. Well, you see, the way the company was set up in those days was indeed Radio Netherlands was the overall organization. And then there were the separate language sections, Dutch, English, Spanish, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And apart from these different language sections, there was the section Happy Station, which took over all frequencies of Radio Netherlands on Sundays in English and Spanish. We definitely were not part of the English or the Spanish section, because, as probably most of your listeners at this moment know, I did not just do Happy Station, but I also did La Estación de la Alegría every Sunday in Spanish. And now that you mention that, in fact, that was also the direct reason for me to say at one point, okay, folks, it was nice as long as it lasted, but that is it. Of course, every company, every enterprise sometimes has to go through reorganizations. As time goes along, you cannot avoid these things. And Radio Netherlands was going through one of these reorganizations. And that meant that my position as head of that section, apart from being the presenter and the producer and the director, because, you know, I was a sort of Elizabethan Jose Ferrer, you know. I did everything. And when they told me, we are going to reorganize and you will be put under the wings of, I said, now, wait a minute, folks. What happens to my official function? Officially, it says in my job description that I am the head of the section Happy Station. And they said, no, you are not. Well, I won't go into the gory details because it's so long ago, but I secured the original job description form that I had received from the management and could prove that, yes, indeed, I was the head of that section. And then all kinds of things happened where, you know, I wasn't going there anymore as happily as I used to. And when I came home, I wasn't as happy as I used to. So I said, all right, that's it. And that's the reason to go.
Mm. Yesterday, I contacted a mutual friend of ours, and he said that I should send you his email again because he lost yours. He cannot listen right now because none of our frequencies are reaching the Caribbean. His name is Manolo de la Rosa at Radio Havana, Cuba. And he has, Tom, in his collection at home, he has copies still of another show that you did in Spanish called Musicalmente Suyo that were airing on a radio station in Havana. Anyway, he told me to say hello to you.
Thank you. But he's not listening, is he?
No, he's probably going to hear the file after the program goes out.
Oh, okay.
So you can still say something to him.
Yeah, en este caso, Manolo, me doy cuenta que no estás escuchando esta transmisión en directo, pero sí en el futuro, de otra manera. Muchos saludos de Holanda por medio de Taiwán hacia Cuba. Y esa es la belleza de la onda corta, que digamos que el mundo es mucho más pequeño gracias a la radio. Okay, you can continue now.
All right. You know, there was also something else that is quite amazing, because we talked about this over the last few weeks. Management, of course, in radio stations has changed dramatically. Most people that are managers in stations are not radio people. They're government appointees. When this transition started happening at Radio Netherlands, and that's what you see in place now, what was it like for you to see these people who didn't know anything about radio but came from management schools? You told me this funny story about this guy who was asking, how did the technician know when to play the music?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's something that, of course, was happening worldwide. Instead of appointing people who had earned their place by professionalism in a certain field, people were appointed as managers, and you often had a feeling that the person who had just been appointed as the general manager of a bank or a hospital or a radio station, like in our case, didn't have a clue whether the building he was in was a hospital or a bank or a radio station. Obviously, I'm exaggerating to make a point.
He was the owner of... They were a manager of a brothel, right?
Pardon?
They were the manager of a brothel.
These are your words, or were they mine? No, anyway, it made things difficult at times, because I am so old-fashioned, and I probably was old-fashioned already when I was young, that I'd expect a manager or a boss of any other form to know at least as much about the profession as I did. And if you have to decide after experiences with a certain person that this person doesn't know enough about the profession that you both represent, then there's something wrong. I mean, it's the reason that when I finally had my farewell reception in 1993, I made it very hard for our PR official because I said, look, I'm putting together the guest list, and I don't want our general manager to be on the guest list, because if he comes, I leave. No, I'm serious. I know it was not a friendly thing to do, but I don't like pretending, and I don't like lying. A little white lie is sometimes necessary in life, but I'm not going to stand at a reception thrown in my honor and say, oh, how wonderful that you're here, whereas I hate somebody's guts.
Did I make myself quite clear? you would be, I think, perfect to work for the diplomatic corps.
Well, I know a couple of people who've said that in the course of my life.
But getting back to that funny experience where they wondered how... It is a funny story, and I wish you would tell it, actually. This guy asked a question, how does the engineer know when you play a piece of music? And you said...
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, the funny thing, I think okay, it doesn't really matter who they were, but quite a number, I would say about 15 or 20 people from The Hague who were training to be ambassadors and other diplomatic servants. And every year that school would send their alumni to Radio Netherlands, obviously, because once you are appointed ambassador to a country far away, you have to know at least a little bit about the radio station, the shortwave station of the country you represent. So we would get these young people over once every year, and young, I would say somewhere between 20 and 25. And one of these people asked the question. I got the story later from my assistant, from Rosemary, who asked the man who was there, when Mr. Meyer announces a record, we don't see him do anything, and yet the record starts right on the dot. How is that possible? And the man said, well, you see, that's because he's got a knob under the table which he presses with his foot. Oh, come on, get off it. And so both my assistant and the engineer almost wet themselves laughing, because obviously that's not the case. But after you've worked with engineers for so long, you don't even have to make a motion with your hand. Just one look will tell them, okay, start the record now. Thank you, Keith. I'll let you go now, but don't forget. No, I can do it myself. I almost asked, don't forget to say hello and goodbye to all the listeners. Hello, listeners of PCJ Media, broadcasting to you from Taipei, Taiwan. This is Tom Meyer in Holland saying goodbye and maybe talk to you soon again.
And on that note, we're going to end right now with Tom Meyer and a song that he recorded many years ago, I'll Be Seeing You. Tom, thank you very much again.
I'll be seeing you, Keith.
I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. In that small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well. I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll see you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you. old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. Here at Small Cafe the Park, across the way, the children's carousel, chestnut tree, wishing well. I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day. Everything that's light and gay, I'll always think of you that way. I will find you in the morning light, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at that moon, but I'll be seeing you. I'll be seeing you.